ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. So we're continuing our reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the sixth canto, chapter 1, which is entitled The History of the Life of Ajamil. And what is the verse on the board? All right, let me just call it up in the database here. It's much easier for me to read from the computer than the book. There's just not enough light over here ever. 64. Microsoft Key Jai. So, Tam Eva Toshayam Asa Pitrenartena Yavata Gramyay Manoramai Kamai Prasideta Yata Tata Tameva Toshayamasa Pitrenyartena Yavata Gramyar Manoramai Kamai Prasideta Yata Tata Tameva Toshayamasa Pitrenyartena Yavata Gramyar Manoramai Kamai Prasideta Yata Tata Tameva Toshayamasa Pitrenyartena Yavata Gramyar Manoramai Kamai Prasideta Yata Tata. Please chant. Tameva Toshayamasa Tameva Toshayamasa Pitrenyartena Yavata Vaishnavis. Pitrenyartena Yavata Gramyaya Manoramai Kamai Prasideta Yata Tata Tameva Toshayamasa Pitrenyartena Yavata Toshayamasa Pitrenartena Yavata Kamai Pasirita yata tata. So synonyms, tam, her. Parenthetically, the prostitute. The prostitute. Eva, indeed. Toshayamasa. He tried to please. Pitrina. He got from his father's hard labor. Artena. By the money. Yavata. As long as possible. Gramyai. Material. Manaramai. Pleasing to her mind. Kamai. By presentations for sense enjoyment. Prasideta. She will be satisfied. Yata. So that. Tata. In that way. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Thus Ajamil began spending whatever money he had inherited from his father to satisfy the prostitute with various material presentations so that she remained pleased with him. He gave up all his brahminical activities to satisfy the prostitute. Please repeat. Thus Ajamil began spending whatever money he had inherited from his father to satisfy the prostitute with various mature presentations so that she would remain pleased with him. He gave up all his brahminical activities to satisfy the prostitute. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are many instances throughout the world in which even a purified person being attracted by a prostitute spends all the money he has inherited. Prostitute hunting is so abominable that desire for sex with a prostitute can ruin one's character, destroy one's exalted position, and plunder all one's money. Therefore, illicit sex is strictly prohibited. One should be satisfied with his married wife, for even a slight deviation will create havoc. A Krishna-conscious grihastha should always remember this. He should always be satisfied with one wife and be peaceful simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Otherwise, at any moment, he may fall down from his good position as exemplified in the case of Ajamil. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shunyavade Paschachade Shtarne Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Shtapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvatangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinavando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanevyo Vaishyavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a season of gift-giving. This is deeply inculcated in the Western psyche especially, where people spend their hard-earned money to buy something to please someone, or in many cases, many persons. And they've said that one of the most popular gifts nowadays is the gift card. Because we're too lazy to figure out. In the old days, if you knew somebody, right? You would figure out what would make them happy. You knew them well enough to know, okay, they would like this or that or this or that. Figure it out, then you go to the store and buy that, wrap it up nicely and give it to them. But nowadays, Kali Yuga means the age of laziness. So people are too lazy to do that. It takes too much effort. And by the way, they're just not going to like it. They're going to have to take it back. So let me just give them a gift card, right? So everybody buys these gift cards and, oh, Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday, whatever, they give you a gift card. Not very personal. Now, the reason I'm discussing this is because Kali Yuga is also the age of scams. And the gift-giving season is when all the scammers come out of the woodwork. So nowadays, you have these very clever scammers. You go to the store to buy a $100 gift card. And you go home and you open it, and lo and behold, there's a $25 card inside, not a $100 card. And to make matters even worse, that $25 card has already been discharged. It's not worth anything. You go to the store, you can't even get $25 out of it. Because what they do is they go to the stores, they buy the package of $100 card, they slice it open very neatly with a razor blade, take out the card, put in the useless card, glue it back together, and take it back to the store. So this is going on. Kali Yuga is the age of laziness and cheating. Cheating like anything. And when we hear this, we are outraged. And sometimes we laugh. How can people be fooled like this? And, you know, it's very outrageous. At the same time, it's a little funny that people allow themselves to be cheated in this way. But we're all being cheated. We're being cheated by the same thing that's cheating Jamil right here. And that cheating proposition is Maya's business. Maya's business is to constantly set us up for this scam. That if you simply invest your energy in satisfying yourself, you'll be happy. Forget about Krishna. Maybe he doesn't even exist. Maybe it's just a myth. But you're real. You're here now. You have your senses. You want to be happy. Just do this. Just do that for yourself, and you'll be happy. This is a scam that we all fall for over and over and over again until we get disgusted, we get tired, and we get serious about going back to home, back to Godhead. So this is the message of the Acharyas, that don't be scammed. There's a saying in English, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But we've been fooled millions of times. So how shame should we feel? We've been scammed over and over and over by the same scam. Maya doesn't have it. It's not really any new tricks. It's just presented in newer and newer ways. That you have your senses, sense of touch, sight, hearing, smell, taste. Just engage those at least somewhat for yourself and you'll be happy. But the Acharya say no. Kaviraja Smaraj says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tara Balikam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Prema Dharinam. Says there are two things going on only. Kama and Prema. Lust and love. Real love is for Krishna. And how do you define the two? Atmendriya Priti Vancha. Whenever you desire to serve your own indriyas, Atma Indriya. I am the Atma, my indriyas. My senses, I want to enjoy. That is called kama or lust. In any shape or form, subtly or grossly, if you want to satisfy yourself, then it is lust. And Krishnendriya Priti Icha, Prema Dharinam. When you want to satisfy Krishna's senses, that is called prema. That is the very simple distinction. He said it's like comparing iron to gold. They're both metals, but if somebody gives you an iron bracelet, you look at him like, what are you thinking about? Somebody gives you a golden bracelet and it's like, this guy really understands. So there's a big difference. Big difference between kama and prema. Between sense gratification and satisfying Krishna's senses. Just a few days ago, Subhas reads in the morning from the Bhagavatam. This is from the first canto. I didn't look up the exact place. But Prabhupada was saying in the purport that to be Krishna conscious means that at every moment you should do something for Krishna's pleasure, not for Krishna's displeasure. For Krishna's pleasure, not for Krishna's displeasure. So we're all intelligent enough to make that distinction. The thing that I'm engaging in right now, the place that I'm putting my energy, is this something that's going to give Srila Prabhupada and Krishna pleasure or displeasure? Here it's mentioned that Ajamil took his father's hard-earned money, inheritance that he got, and he spent it all on this prostitute. We have example, some of us, directly and indirectly. I know when I was in Henry Street, this was back in 73 or 74, one of the devotees there, his parents died and left him a sizable sum of money. And within literally days, there went the bead bag, there went the neck beads, everything was thrown away, and he was out the door to go enjoy. This again is a scam that Maya, you know, throws at us. Now you have money. What are you going to do with it? You're going to give it all to Krishna? You're a young man. Go out, enjoy. So that's what that devotee did. And I'm sure many others have been in that situation. And we have to look at ourselves. Even after chanting Hare Krishna for 20, 30, 40 years, I know I have to be honest in the back of my mind. I'm still thinking, there's one very rich uncle in my family. As a matter of fact, when I joined, the parents sent him because I just finished my third year of college and they wanted me to finish school and all that. So they sent him to talk to me. Because, you know, he's a successful materialist. And, you know, he came and, are you sure you want to do this? You know, you're going to need money in life, da-da-da. And after we had a couple of hours long conversation, he went back to them and said, you know, at least I can tell you he's serious. So, and that was practically the last time I spoke to him. The rest of the family didn't stay in touch with him. So this guy has got a huge estate in Orlando, Florida, worth about $10 million. And besides that, he has got millions and millions of dollars. And he dropped out of medical school, by the way, and made a lot of money in real estate. So I'm thinking, you know, he's got two kids, a daughter who's a doctor, she's very successful, the son, and I'm not sure what he's doing, but he's also successful. So maybe if he dies at the last moment, he'll think of me, and, you know, maybe I'll inherit a few million. What would I do if I got that estate in Orlando? Would I turn it into like a really high-end preaching center, or would I sell it and take the money and do something Christian, you know, like that? So, you know, after all these years, I'm still thinking, maybe, you know, what would happen if some money comes? But we're all in that position. What happens if money comes? What are you going to do with it? Do we follow Rupa Goswami's example? 25% for personal emergencies, 25% to the family, and 50% for Krishna conscious projects. Are we going to do that? Or what? You know, we really have to ask ourselves seriously. And if we would set that formula for a large sum of money, then why not for the small sum of money that we have now? In other words, whatever formula you would apply to $10 million, apply it to $10. Some for yourself, some for the family, and some for Krishna. And if we follow that formula, then we're Krishna conscious. If we don't, then Maya's got us. She's again got us because she's always suggesting something to do with money that is not Krishna conscious. When I preach in the colleges, I'm always saying, because people say, you know, even I was born in Jamaica and we have this famous song that money is okay if it's evenly distributed. You know, these reggae guys are always singing like that. And materialism is wrong, but if everybody has the same, then it's okay. But you know, it can never have the same. It's not possible. So when I preach in the colleges, I say to the students, this is how karma works. If I were to give everybody in this room right now $1 million, all right, you're not so excited, $10 million, okay. Come back in a year, would everybody have the same amount of money? No. Some idiot would immediately run to Vegas, it's gone. Somebody else would invest very wisely and they would have $100 million after 1 year. And most of them would be somewhere in between. So karma's like that. We'll never be equal materially. We can never have the same amount materially. It's not possible. So devotees don't worry about that. Prabhupada used to say, whatever comes naturally and easily, that's what the devotee takes. Doesn't over-endeavor for material purposes. For spiritual purposes, like now we have Prabhupada's Marathon and World Enlightenment Day coming up, for those reasons, devotees can over-endeavor. It's okay to over-endeavor to please the spiritual master. But even there, Prabhupada warned us. When preaching, when engaging in devotional service, do what comes naturally, do what comes without, you know, breaking your back. Sometimes he pushes us to do that, but the general rule is, your service shouldn't be a burden. It should be what you can do naturally, something that you have a natural aptitude for, and something that you is not going to tax you, so you feel burdened. But in the marathon, if we put a little extra energy out, like lately we had Rameshwar visit here, and he could push us a little bit for the marathon because he himself set that example. As a young devotee here in Los Angeles, he was one of the first ones to personally go out and distribute like hundreds and hundreds of BTGs in one day. You know, he discovered that that's possible. Just keep approaching one person after the next, after the next, after the next, and don't worry about your physical situation. So he set that example, one of the devotees that did that. So for the marathon, for World Enlightenment Day, we can get out of our comfort zone a little bit, but generally speaking, devotional service is so nice that you don't even have to tax yourself. Chant 16 rounds minimum. Follow the principles. Come to the program. Here the principle that's being discussed is this business of illicit sex, which is Maya's main scam that she puts on us. Because we all have a material body. We know what it's like, especially us proper disciples. We're getting older. We know the body. It's falling apart in this way and that way. It's not a good deal. It's not a good deal. But material life means I'm taking this body, which is not a good deal, and I'm offering it to somebody else as a good deal. That's cheating. It's not a good deal, and I'm offering it to you as a good deal. It's like being a used car salesman. So, spiritual life means, at least kick the tires, check what you're getting. Is it really a good deal? And if you're a little intelligent, a little honest, you have to admit, it's not a good deal. This body is not a good deal. So how can I offer it to somebody as a good deal? And how can I accept somebody else's body as being a good deal? We have our Rukmini Devi here. When Krishna tested her that time and said that he was not worthy of her and really he should leave her so she could remarry, and she fainted, So when she got up, she said that every woman should aspire to have you as a husband. Any woman who accepts a man who's simply a bag of skin with mustache and hair and full of bones and blood, she said, she's just being cheated. So it's like that. We should see the body for what it is. Sometimes we get a little bit shy about being forthright about this, but we should see the body for what it is. Kuna Pechidatake. It's a bag of skin full of mucus, air and bile and bones and blood. And we don't want that. We don't want a body with blood. We want a body with no blood. The spiritual body has no veins. It has no blood. No bones. It doesn't have anything that's breakable. The soul cannot be broken. The soul does not get ill. This is what we want. We want to revive our original spiritual body and go back to home, back to Godhead, and enjoy eternally with Krishna. Prabhupada said, when you look at the deities, you think, I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. And that is Krishna's position. He's the one that could be everybody's lover. He could be everybody's son. He can be everybody's friend. That's his natural position. We can't do that. If we have a few friends, by the time it gets into double digits, we are already, you know, taxed how to stay in touch with everybody. And so we go on Facebook and we try to do it that way. And it's we can't. You know, we're just limited. We're very limited. We cannot stay in touch with unlimited amounts of people. That's Krishna's position. Krishna can do that. Krishna can love everyone, and he does love everybody. So our position is that we should give love to Krishna primarily, and then when our real love for Krishna is revived, then we won't be scammed by Maya anymore. We won't be scammed by Maya anymore. Krishna says, because Arjuna asked how to recognize somebody who's spiritually advanced. And the first answer Krishna gave was, Prajahati yada kaman, sarvan partha manogatan. Aymanevatmananti stita pragyata dochite. He said, when a man gives up all desire for sense gratification, which is based on mental concoction, and this is how Maya gets us. She waves the scam in front of us, and we think about it. That's where it should stop. You know, that's where it should stop. If we learn to cut it off at that point, the proposition is made, and we think about it and then cut it off there. Okay, it's not a good deal and you don't go any further. The problem is we allow it to sink into the mind and then it rolls around and we think about it and we think, well, maybe this time I won't get burned. I'll just try one more time. And we go and wham, like the Roadrunner cartoon. Wile E. Coyote, right? Wile E. Coyote gets scammed every single time, gets smashed. And just like a soul, he doesn't die, he wakes up, he shakes off the dust, and he goes for it again. But we should be smart enough not to be like that silly coyote. And just stop and think that it's a bad deal, it's not a good deal, it's just like all these Christmas scams that are going to be out there. If you're a little intelligent, you avoid them all. But unfortunately, because we're this desire as conditioned souls, this desire to enjoy separately from Krishna is so strong that it takes great effort to break that. And therefore we get scammed over and over again, multiple times. I've told the story before when I was in San Diego in the 90s, there was this guy who had been arrested for scamming seniors. San Diego's a senior retirement community, mostly. And he had worked out this stock market scheme for scamming all these people out of their hard-earned savings. Finally he got caught, he got thrown in jail. But this guy was so vicious and so clever that from his jail cell he was calling them, because he still had a list. of names of all the people he had scammed, and he was calling them and convincing them that he was a lawyer who could represent them and get their money back. All they had to do was send $1,000. And a lot of them did it. This is how foolish we are as conditioned souls. We don't see the scams. We don't see them. And we get burned over and over and over again. So, Srila Prabhupada, the Acharyas are saying, wake up, Jeev Jago, don't get scammed again, don't get burned again by the so-called offer of sense gratification. It's not in your best interest. It doesn't really satisfy. You're a spirit soul, like a fish out of water. It doesn't matter what they give you. Recently, my wife and I went to the car show in LA just to see what's coming down the pike, all these electric vehicles and stuff. Maybe we should get one when the current lease runs out like that. And so if we're intelligent, we plan ahead. We see what's coming on. We know you don't get scammed. You try not to get burned. You try to be intelligent. The Acharyas are saying, don't get scammed. Understand this philosophy. The Bhagavad Gita really is a manual on how not to get scammed. That's what it is. The Bhagavad Gita is a manual, a primer on how not to get scammed. If you become convinced, if you allow Krishna, who knows everything, so he knows how to avoid scams. If you let Krishna convince you, if we let Krishna convince us that we're not this body, that our best interest lies in making spiritual progress, then we don't get scammed. Just like Haridas Thakur would not be scammed by that prostitute. When she came, he said, "Very nice proposal, but I haven't finished my rounds yet. Just wait, let me chant. When I finish my rounds, then we kill and joy." Thing is, he never finishes rounds. Deliberately. He chanted 192 rounds a day, but we can be the same way. Whenever some scam pops up, whenever some offer pops up, excuse me, alright, let me think about it. I have to chant. And you go and chant. And when you chant, Krishna clarifies your intelligence and you don't get burned. Alright, we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Anything? Yes. A set of keys were found after the kirtan, if anybody has lost their keys. It says, it's got a little card on it that says, Unit 303, main door. So, okay, I guess the person left and didn't take their keys. Alright, Granthavashi Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.